Hi, good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Throneberry and I'm here before the opening of the program because I got to explain a few things to you. We had a real technical mess up today, I guess would be the kindest way of saying it. We weren't able to maintain our telephone contact and we were doing the program remotely from the basement of Veterans Radio, my house, and just couldn't get a good connection going for about the first half hour of the program, and there's quite a few glitches in there, and so I wanted to apologize to you before the program actually started and kind of give you an idea of what we were going to try and do on the program today. It is a benefits program is what we were attempting to do. And so we have our guests on the program today include Brian Hayes from the Ann Arbor VA Health Care System, Carol Ann Falzone, retired Brigadier General, United States Air Force Reserved. She is from Legal Help for Veterans, and Michael Smith, who is the Executive Director of the Veterans Service Office here in Washtenaw County. And so when we finally get into the interview with them, you may not hear me introduce them correctly, so I just wanted to make sure that we did that. We also had in today's program, we do give away the jacket and Top Gun patches from U.S. Wings. U.S. Wings, as you know, is one of our sponsors that helps us stay on the radio, which reminds me to also take this opportunity to ask you and to thank you for your continued support for Veterans Radio. This coronavirus is not helping small businesses like ours or any small business out there, and we've lost a couple of guardian angels because their businesses have slowed down dramatically over the last couple of weeks. So we're asking if you could to support Veterans Radio, just go to our Veterans Radio website and you can click on Hey Buddy, Help Us Out. Veterans Radio is part of the Veterans Radio America Corporation, which is a nonprofit organization, so your donations would be tax deductible. And we would really appreciate this, and I don't want to sound like I'm begging. I guess I am a little bit, but I don't. But our expenses run about $1,500 to $2,000 a month because we have to pay for our radio time, of course, on the stations that we are on. And so we could use your help, and it would be greatly appreciated if you could do that. And if you do, we'll send you out some of our new Veterans Radio mugs and some other paraphernalia that we've started to offer in our little store there on our website. So without further delay, we're going to get into the program. And again, I apologize for some of the technical quality of the program. Well, we do play a couple of pieces from the Vietnam era since it is today is Vietnam War Veterans Day. And so we hope you enjoy that part, and we hope you do enjoy the program as much of it as you can hear. And so we want to make sure that you do that. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a moment with the opening of the program.
All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Throneberry.
Okay, and welcome to Veterans Radio. Technology is just great today. My name is Dale Throneberry, a United States Army veteran, and we're here to do our benefits program for the month of March. And since we're all bunkered down in our bunkers or hunkered down in our bunkers, this is where we are right now. Today's benefits program, as I mentioned, is going to be brought to you by our sponsors. And we can't do this without them at all. So first of all, we're going to have Legal Help for Veterans, which specializes in veterans disability claims. So for more information, you can go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com or give Legal Help a call at 800-693-4800. And U.S. Wings, the manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets in the world. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. More information, you can go to their website, that's uswings.com, or give them a call at 800-650-0659. I also need to remind everybody that today is our giveaway for the U.S. Wings A2 flight jacket and also their new Top Gun patches. So you got to stick around to the end of the program in order to find out who wins these things. You don't have to listen to win, but we're hoping that you would
stick around and listen as long as you possibly can. So yeah, we're going to be giving away these incredible leather flight jackets today. And we've got a whole list of almost over 300 people that have submitted their names. And just to relieve somebody's question, the sizes of the jackets vary from small to extra, extra large. So we'll pretty much guarantee that you're going to be able to fit into the jacket that you order. And we don't send the order in. Actually, you will when we get done contacting you. Also, we want to make sure that we thank our local veteran service organizations. That's American Legion Post 46, Veterans Helping Veterans, VFW Post 423. That's no one does more for veterans than the VFW. And finally, the Vietnam Veterans of America Post 310, Charles S. Kettle's post. And never again shall a veteran coming home from battle be made to feel alone and unappreciated. And speaking of Vietnam veterans, just real quickly, how's that for a transition? Today happens to be the Vietnam Veterans, or the National Vietnam War Veterans Day. And I got a letter here today from the Military Order of the Purple Heart that I just wanted to read to you real quickly. And it says, Patriots, today, March 29th, is a very important day for all of America. It is a day dedicated to our Vietnam veterans who are worthy of every praise. They served with a tenacious and indomitable spirit and returned to their homes just to feel that they were fighting a war in their own country. Regrettably, your sacrifice went unappreciated and your service to our nation went unnoticed in the early years. Today marks another anniversary of the withdrawal of troops from Vietnam, and I wish to pass along to all the Vietnam veterans and their families a hearty welcome home. I recognize each and every Vietnam veteran who did not receive that proper welcome home and gratitude you earned and deserved. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for your unselfish devotion to our nation. And to all Vietnam veterans today and every day, on behalf of the entire Military Order of the Purple Heart, thank you for your service and welcome home. I salute you. Felix Garcia III, National Commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. So thank you all very much. And to all of my Vietnam friends and buddies, welcome home. Finally, here we are. All right, so.
No, I haven't gotten a hold of him yet.
Okay, well, who have we got on the line here, Derek?
I've been trying to get Brian, but I guess I'll go ahead and give Michael a call.
Okay, so I'm waiting for somebody to get. Is Carol Ann there?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. I think they're probably trying to call me on my phone, it sounds like. I do have a couple of struggles. In fact, I did have somebody on hold on my phone, but it doesn't work. I can't talk to you that way. Hey, I got an article here. Two articles that'll be interesting for you. One is that there's a House bill in the legislature in the state of Michigan, and what they want to do is they want to honor all of the veterans who have been exposed to Agent Orange and have been diagnosed with some sort of disease as a result of their exposure. And this was introduced just this last week. Actually, it says the people of the state of Michigan enact the governor may prescribe the award of medals and other suitable means of public recognition of distinguished service. And they're trying to get this done for anybody who has been diagnosed with a disease that is associated with Agent Orange. And I want to thank the state of Michigan for doing this. This is pretty awesome. And it doesn't make any difference if you were in Vietnam or if you were, you know, at Camp Lejeune or any of the other places or in Korea or any of the other bases where Agent Orange had been sprayed around there. So congratulations to this is it says it was introduced by Representative Walpole, Paquette, Wentworth, Wisniak, Whitsett, LaVave, Howell, Sabo, Yarrick, and is referred to the Committee on Military, Veteran, and Homeland Security. And I think our listener who sent me this article, I thought that was really kind of an interesting thing. It's very cool. So thank you for doing that. There's a couple of other things that are going on in the world, as we know. I don't know if you saw the article in today's paper, but the Navy aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, is in the in Guam, and it is quarantined there. They have a crew of over 5,000 on board the ship, and they've had 23 confirmed cases of coronavirus. And so now they are quarantined there in Guam until they can test every single member of the crew, which should be most interesting, I think. So we're going to try and see if we can find out more information about that. But I thought that would be interesting to those of you that are out there in the Navy that are always talking about, you know, how well the Navy does things. And I think this is great. The article said that they had come from the South China Sea is where they had been on their latest voyage. I'm not in the Navy, so I don't know what they call them. And I thought that was rather interesting that we could, where is that story? Anyway, so we've got 5,000 Navy guys on a ship in Guam trying to find out where we can do that. So there's that article along there. This is so much fun working from home instead of in an actual studio where you try to figure out what's happening and trying to find things. I think it'd be a little bit more organized. But last week we talked with Melissa Engel, who is a mental health specialist who had worked at the Ann Arbor VA for a while and also is in private practice now. And she had some suggestions that we could follow as far as, you know, if we're getting a little antsy, being, you know, confined to our homes and we're, you know, anxious because we don't understand what is going on and so forth. So, Derek, why don't we play that if you can?
And joining me on the line right now is our good friend and counselor, Melissa Engel. And Melissa, real quickly, is a licensed professional counselor working in Michigan. She's been working with veterans since 1998. She's currently completing her PhD program at Oakland University here in Michigan, and she has recently opened her own private practice. So, Melissa, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you. How are you doing?
We're all hanging in here over at our house.
I know. Everybody's hanging around in their house. It's a good place to be.
Living in our PJs, yeah.
Yes. Well, I asked you to come on the program because we've been getting a lot of you know, news and information, and some of it's true and some of it's not. And I've noticed in talking to some of my Army and military buddies that they're getting anxious over what's going on. And I just wanted to have you on and think maybe you could help kind of talk them down a little bit and see what you could recommend that so they could calm down.
Yeah, absolutely, Dale. Thanks. Well, let me first just begin by normalizing that during a time like this of national crisis or pandemic, it's absolutely normal for all people to experience anxiety and worry and discomfort. So if you already have pre-existing problems with post-traumatic stress or anxiety or depression, what as mental health professionals we expect to see is what we call an amplification of that or an increasing of the symptoms. So just to give you an example, Secretary of the VA, Dr. Wilkie indicated that the Veterans Crisis Line has experienced a 12% increase in calls, and 20% of those are COVID-related. So it's definitely measurable and palpable, and I see it in my practice, and I see it in the veteran community that I interact with. So the first thing I just kind of want to cover is it's okay to be anxious and nervous about this. It's a normal reaction, and there are definitely things that we can do. But first, let's just talk about, like, why is this stressful or why is this feel harmful to some folks? And primarily what we see is you have an increase in isolation. Not everybody lives with other people, or if they do live with other folks, those relationships might be strained. So being limited in where you can go, or having chronic medical conditions that make you feel like you might be more susceptible to get this illness, or it may hit you harder, you might be afraid of those kind of medical consequences. And some of the things that you used to be able to do that you enjoyed in order to relax and cope, maybe you're not able to do that anymore. I know one of my friends, he loves to bowl, and now he can't go bowling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we used to go to the range, me and my partner, and now we can't go to the range because even the outdoor ranges are closed. So it's really, you know, a change of lifestyle that most people weren't really prepared or expecting. So what I want people to sort of take away from how to get better or how to deal through this is think about it in a very simple way. Your stress is increasing, so what you want to do is find things that you can add to your daily routine that decrease your stress. That's going to be different for each of us. For some folks, it might be some type of self-care activity. So maybe, you know, taking a nap, taking a bath, going for a walk, getting some exercise, doing some yoga, reading a book, any of the things that you personally enjoy, whatever those activities are, we should be building and scheduling those into our day, and we should be creating some sort of structure. Most people do better when they know what's going to happen and when and what to expect. Certainly kids at this time in our homes, they're going to do much, much better if we maintain some sort of structure. So having a schedule where you get up, maybe you eat breakfast, you do some light exercise, you do something fun, go do work stuff, you know, business stuff, and then plan some more time to take care of yourself. Seeking help is really, really important. I will say that I've been really impressed with Governor Whitner's response to this crisis. What she's mm-hmm. done is she's allowed basically telemedicine in a way that we've never seen it authorized before. So if you had a therapist or if you're looking to go to therapy, you can still access that and start that process right now through telehealth portals. So mm-hmm. if you're concerned and you want someone to talk to, the help is there. Good news is that the VA is still providing essential mental health services. So don't think that just because maybe your physical therapy appointment has been canceled that you can't access mental health care. You can, by either contacting your social worker or your provider at the VA, or by calling the crisis line and getting yourself connected if you're a VA that's eligible for those services. If you're not eligible for those services and you have private health insurance, most of the major healthcare providers right now have waived all of their co-pays and deductibles for mental health services in the state of Michigan. So Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, Humana, a lot of them, if you go to your health insurance page, you'll see an alert that says, like, what we're doing about COVID. You click on that, and it'll tell you if your insurance company has waived those copays, because they recognize mm-hmm. that. We're preparing to have a mental health emergency on top of a physical disease emergency. So we want people to get into care now before it gets worse, because most of the time, folks will wait till it's much, much worse or unbearable before they reach out for help. And right. just with everything that's going on, that's not the way to do it. So take care of yourself. Seek help if you want those services. Folks can email me right there from the Veterans Radio page if they want specific information or if they have a particular question. I'm more than happy to help them out. I'm also seeing clients in office and by telehealth at my private practice. So I'm happy to give them that information if they reach out to me through the page there on veteransradio.net. And just some other general pieces of advice. Now's a good time to call that buddy who you haven't talked to in 8 months or 2 years or 5 years. Now's a good time to reach out and see how other people are doing. Sometimes reaching out to someone or looking out for a neighbor can help you feel like you've got control over the situation and that you're doing something about it, not only for yourself, but for other people. So reach out and seek help, but also provide help if you're in a position to do so. The other piece of advice that's really important right now is limit your exposure to news, TV, and social media. You're watching the news cycles 24/7. The title on the screen says breaking news, and immediately our blood pressure goes up. So what we need to do is stay informed, but pick a particular time. What I've been doing, I get up in the morning, I check the news, and I read an article about what's the latest, what's important, what's relevant that I need to know, and then I shut it down for the rest of the day.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, if you did before your time is due, I know. you're so young and pretty. And one thing I know is true, yeah, you'll be dead before your time is due. Know it. Watch my dad.
Today's program is about benefits, and of course, we're all trying to deal with the coronavirus and the stay at home and lockdown and everything else. And I wanted to find out exactly what was going on at the Ann Arbor VA. So hopefully, I've got Brian Hayes on the line. And Brian, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Well, Dale, it's good to be back on. But really, you know, VA has been working so hard, particularly VA Ann Arbor, we've been working so hard to be prepared for any kind of patient surge that we might be experiencing. And that we can see that that's starting to ramp up a little bit. As you know, Detroit is starting to get a little loaded. Their ICU is doing okay, and we're taking a few patients from them. But mainly, we wanted to make sure Ann Arbor was ready for any patients that might be coming to us. We've got a few, and we expect this week we might see some more coming as the graph kind of starts to tip upward. But the hospital is ready. We've converted some of our inpatient units to be strictly units for COVID-19 patients. So those are ready. We've got the staff ready to go. So I think the hospital's ready. The biggest thing that most people are going to notice is you really can't get into the hospital. You can't get into any of our clinics now. So we've essentially completely eliminated all visitation with the exception of end-of-life visitation. And even then, it's going to require a screening process for those folks to get into the hospital. And with rare exceptions, caregivers can come in, depending on what job the caregiver does for the veteran, that sort of thing. But those are taken care of on a case-by-case basis. But you know, we're still taking care of veterans just like we always have. We're doing it in different ways, on the phone, virtually, through veterans virtual care, through My Healthy Vet and secure messaging. So veterans are getting their care. They're just getting it. Just looks a little different now.
So, Brian, this is Carol Ann. Thank you for being with us today. I have a question because I'm getting calls all over. You're right. So would you tell a veteran if they are experiencing problems, not the top ones of the coronavirus, the symptoms. Let's say they're having some problems with their illness. Should they call their primary care physician, their team, to start that going? And if obviously, if it is an emergency, they've got chest pain, something else, go to the ER. Is that correct?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Go to the ER. If you're having chest pains, go to the ER. And, you know, go to the closest one that you can. If you're close to the VA, go to the VA. But if you want to see, if you have some illness other than COVID-19, you know, people, you know, it's sort of been, you know, the main focus that we've had for a couple of months now is coronavirus or COVID-19. But, you know, people still get regularly sick too. And so if that's happening, then just call your doctor and get an appointment. You'll probably be an appointment by phone or virtually. If your doc needs to see you to diagnose you, then a face-to-face appointment will be made, but there'll be a screening process, and we'll likely put a mask on you when you come in the building and that kind of thing. So So like I said, we're still seeing patients. We're still seeing folks for things other than coronavirus. We're just doing it in a lot differently.
Okay. It sounds as though one of the things that I read from the website earlier today was that and I think you just said it, but that nobody is really allowed to come in except for the patients.
That's right. Staff and patients, and even a lot of staff are working from home when they can. But we're not letting everybody work from home because, you know, we are a very complex hospital system, and we need to take care of our veterans. And so very, very limited number of folks are working from home. We're repurposing other people. People are getting other duties to do, and we're making sure that the care that we deliver our veterans continues to be top-notch.
Well, I appreciate the fight, and I have to remind everybody that you just need to be patient with everything that's going on as far as medical care is concerned. Everybody's working as fast and as hard as they can.
And well, I'm just thinking about it. Nothing looks like it did 2 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's all very different.
Right. And Dale, from the Veterans Benefits Administration side of the house, they're trying to work. They've transitioned to a work-at-home foundation about 4 or 5 years ago. So almost 50 to 60% of the staff at the Detroit regional office works from home already.
Mm-hmm.
What they did to extend that was that they literally closed all of the regional offices for walk-in traffic where they provided customer service and did veterans interaction right there and filing claims there. They're moving everything virtual. They have even suspended wet signatures, if you'd allow me to say that so that doesn't sound so raunchy. A wet signature is where a person actually takes a pen and signs a piece of paper on a VA application. So the VA has suspended that until a certain point of time. And what they will accept on all their applications for benefits is a typed signature. If mm-hmm. people are still able to actually do the work of filing claims, and they've moved all of their business to the centralized mail portal or direct submit or any kind of electronic submission of claims so that claims can continue to be processed. On the National Cemetery Administration side of the house, they have literally suspended all committal services and the rendering of military funeral honors until further notice, and that was as of March 23rd. Now, they're still doing internments, and they'll only allow groups of 10 people or less to be present for the internment of a veteran in a national cemetery. So just to tag on to the VHA or the Veterans Health Administration side of the house, that's a little bit of an update from the Veterans Benefits Administration, VBA, and the National Cemetery Administration, NCA.
Okay. Nice. I think that's really helpful, Michael. And as I said before, we just got to continually remind people to be patient. Everybody's trying to work as hard and as fast as they can and as efficiently as they can. Carol Ann, well, what is going on with some of the claims time periods and so forth? What are you finding?
Well, it's really interesting, but some of the phone calls, and Michael's right, they're all working from home, and I've gotten some email responses doing the same thing that I've always done on fighting for our veterans' claims. I'm getting responses pretty quickly. I'm not saying that they're making decisions on the claims, but I'm getting answers. I understand that I'm communicating with our veterans, the process, where the claim is. I'm waiting less time right now. I'm getting, to be very honest, more direct one-on-one phone calls that I haven't had before, wanting to talk to us and explain what's happening. But I would tell our veterans, if they're out there, to still continue. Our posture is, even though it's stay at home, all this is going on, if you have an SOC, a notice of disagreement, something, it's still the VA is operating, so everything is time limited. And I would say, please do not let your claims go and not meet the deadline, because then the VA will close them. And so you need to still be vigilant. We are, we're accepting probably more phone calls from our veterans than usual because they're all concerned. You know, what's happening? Is anybody processing my claim? So a little of that, but we're trying to reassure them that everything we're doing is, you know, continuing. So it looks like there's an easy transition and nothing has slipped through the cracks.
Well, I think that's great that people are keeping up on everything. I know that they're giving pretty quick responses. As I mentioned before, when I was ad-libbing, that I got a response back in less than 10 days. And I was kind of shocked by that. But
Dale, if I could comment on that, I have a suspicion that your condition was rated under the cancer ratings.
And yes.
There's only two ratings for cancer. One is 0% and the other is 100%. If it's in remission or it's resolved, then they'll assign a 0% percentage. If it's active or actively being treated, then that's when they assign the 100%. So we might have to look at which diagnostic code was used, because that diagnostic code would indicate why the VA assigned a 0% rating as opposed to 30, 40, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But, of course, we've got to get eyes on it, and General Fontone and I know that in order to get eyes on it, that means we've got to see you.
No, somebody's got. I have copies of the letter, and I'll send it to both of you. So
that'd be awesome.
So you can.
Well, more importantly, the rating. It's not that as much as it is the rating decision code sheet. The code sheet is the one that has the diagnostic code that the VA used to rate the condition. And as the former representative, General Fasson should be able to see that or get access to that.
Okay, well, we will check that out as soon as we can. I just thought it was kind of an unusual that it came back that fast.
Well, it all depends, and which is the answer to one of your other persons that emailed you about an appeal, saying, you know, hey, I've been working on this since 2012. I sent all my information in on my appeal back in August. Why is it taking so long when the website on the VA's website says this takes 6 to 8 weeks. Well, that's a really loaded question in this age, because we don't know if he was in the traditional appellate system.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if he has engaged one of the new appellate lanes, whether that's direct appeal to the BVA, the supplemental claim lane, or the other lane, which is the higher level review. Now, the higher level review and supplemental claim lanes, yes, those should take 6 to 8 weeks. If you're engaged with the BVA and there was a remand and it went back to the regional office of jurisdiction and there was evidence that had to be gathered, then there still has to be a decision made. That could take a longer time. Here's the funny thing. I've got a case just like this young person or whoever wrote in. It was from 2012. He requested a hearing. And they scheduled his hearing just last year in July, in 2012. He went to his hearing. The information went back to the BVA. Now, what was really nice was the BVA's quick remand. And in their remand, they said, hey, send this guy out for exams, get his exams, and then we'll see what decision we can make. I just read those exams Wednesday this week. Some were favorable, some were not. But now that information has to go back to the appeals management office and somebody has to make a decision. So there's going to still be more time in this gentleman's case. So again, without knowing more specifics about that email request that you got, we would be speculating right now about why it's taking so long. But if his was a traditional appeal, he may still be looking at more time.
And Michael, you just brought up an excellent point. I do believe I recall earlier this week getting an email from the VA that says all hearings are being suspended. So to get back to your veteran. So with your person's case, if they were a hearing and they were so excited because it was going to occur in April or it was supposed to occur in March, all of that is being postponed. So you could imagine the backlog when we get out of this and we have some normalcy, what they're going to do with that. Are they going to go back to the veteran and say, now we'll review you traditionally? However, what is the place in the queue? And so that's always the big issue. You know, there's always somebody in front of you. And so I don't know how they're going to handle that, but if this person was waiting, we had one that I know very definitely was so excited because his hearing, and the funny thing was his hearing was scheduled before we got him as a follow-on for April 1st. And so he called the other day and he goes, this is really an April Fool's joke, isn't it? My hearing is not going to take place, is it? So, you know, we just have to wait and see.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, General Fasson, because there have been huge responses from our Veteran Service Organization partners in D.C., including the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We sent letters signed by all the service organization representatives to the chairs of both the Senate and the House subcommittees on Veterans Affairs, asking that they would interject at this time, kind of like to put a moratorium on any expirations of appellate periods or intents to file, so that our veterans do not lose out on their abilities to formalize their claims under intents to file, or they do not lose their appellate rights that go beyond 1 year from a decision. We haven't heard back from the congressional leadership, but our hopes are that they will do the right thing for our veterans.
Thanks for doing that, Michael. I think that's huge, as we're all scrambling, trying to not miss deadlines. And, you know, we're very concerned for the veteran. But, you know, when you've got the order of the governor, stay at home, and your resources are in another spot, and that is a huge concern. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I'm hoping that as you mentioned, that all of that will be taken care of in the next couple of weeks. I think, if, you know, everybody's kind of flying by the seat of their pants and trying to, you know, as you do one thing, something else opens up, and you go, oh, we hadn't thought about that one. So let's take care of that as well. And I think that everybody is doing the best that they can, and I, again, encourage everybody to be patient with things. And, you know, and utilize your emails and so forth, and just ask. Ask the question. I'm sure you'll get the same answers from everybody. I want to thank everybody for being on the program today. It was kind of an abbreviated program. I do have we have to take care of this jacket and patches here. So, Carol Ann, I want you to give me a number from 1 to 300.
Okay, 16.
16. All right, and Michael, I'm going to ask you to give me a number from 1 to 300, but not 16.
299.
Well, there you go. Oh, he's going to be happy. Okay, 299. All right, so let me go back real quick here and let people know that number 16 is... we should play the drum thing there. Number 216 is Tim Marshall from Jensen Beach, Florida. He was in the United States Army in 1968 to 71. And so, Tim, we will be getting a hold of you to make sure that you are the winner of the jacket. And thanks very much for entering, and look forward to contacting you to find out your size and how that will actually work. Then we got number 299, which is down here somewhere. All right, here we go. And that's Robin Holman. And Robin Holman is from Coachella. Looks like Coachella, California, and he was in the Army 1994 to 98, and served in Fort Benning, Georgia. So we want to thank both of those people for entering and winning their jackets and their patches from U.S. Wings, and we want to thank U.S. Wings for providing those prizes for our listeners. In fact, the patches are going to be, we're going to be giving away those patches every week now for the next 3 months. So make sure that you keep adding names to the list, and we'll keep this list going as we go, continue on into the future. So, guys, both of you, all three of you are still there. Brian, Carol Ann, and Michael, thank you very much for your patience and understanding today. It was kind of an adventure. And we will try to do this on a more professional basis next month. I don't think we'll probably be back in the studios yet, but we'll figure out the technology by then. So thanks very much for being on the program.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Dale, thank you. And you know what? It was very professional. Given our situation, you did great.
Thank you very much. So we're going to go out on another Vietnam-era song. This is, you guys will recognize this. Until next week, you are dismissed.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thank you for listening to Veterans Radio. And because today is a Vietnam War Veterans Day, we wanted to end the program playing a little bit of Vietnam-era music. So we're going to be playing Country Joe and the Fish. You'll know what that one is. And then we're going to be playing Ghost Riders of the Sky by Johnny Cash. I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers. Black is Black by Los Bravos. And finally, there's a more of a classical type of music. It's called The Symphony for the Sons of Nam by James Kimo Williams. Thank you again for listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be back next week.
Give me an A! Give me an I! Give me an S! Give me an H! What's that spell? What's that spell? What's that spell?
Sam needs your help again. He's got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gate. Five.
Come on, General, let's move fast. The old big chance has come at last. Gotta go out, get those reds. The only good commie is one that's dead. And you know that peace could only be won when the golden rule of the kingdom come.
And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gate.
Vietnam. Come on, folks, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on your block to have your boy come home in a box.
And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die.
went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo, faces gaunt, their eyes are blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. He's riding hard to catch that herd, but he ain't caught them yet. Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. All the horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Rider floated on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways. They are with us, you will ride, trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yo. Ghost riders in the
day. But she don't intend to see me again.